TFYLP is brought to you by CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Now you can save on orders of $150 or more with free shipping. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com. Look for Mega Toy Fan at popular conventions year-round or contact them via Facebook at facebook.com/mega.toyfan.
Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, can you take the chorus stop?
This is TFYLP, episode 154. I'm Megamus, your host tonight. I have with me Duran.
Hola.
Tobias.
Hello.
Headmaster Don.
Hey, buddy.
And tonight I have a special guest, Carl Hartman.
Hello, yay! Hello.
So tonight we're going to talk about the past BotCon from its humble upbringings to the quintessential mega corporation that it is now, the mega con that it is now. But that's not what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about where it came from. That's the gist of it. Not going to go into what's going on now. We're going to talk about where it came from. So what I wanted to do is I was going to start with Carl, and if you could just let us know, you know, start from the beginning. What got you into Transformers collecting and eventually up to making a convention?
Okay, this is going to take a little while, but so bear with me. First of all, glad to be here tonight. You know, it's going to be, what, 3 weeks from tonight when we're setting stuff up? Actually, 3 weeks from last night when we're setting stuff up. So it's pretty exciting. So how we got into Transformers? Well, I was in fourth grade, and we had a program in the class, in our fourth grade class, called the Secret Pal Program. And that program is where you drew names out of a hat, and for that week, that person would get us like a special gift, and we had to try to guess who it was. Well, somebody drew my name out of a hat, and that girl's name was Laura Weber, and by the way, I would love to talk to her now at some point and just show her everything that's happened since that moment when she got me the original Wind Charger. I got that Wind Charger, and that's the same Wind Charger that is now, I don't know if some of you knew that there's a display of Transformers in the Indianapolis Children's Museum that Pete Sinclair and I helped them put together the display of the toys, and that Wind Charger is on display there till the end of July, I believe, beginning of August. But anyway, so got that Wind Charger. That was April of 84, and I thought it was cool. You know, we just got some Transformers over the course of the year. We had maybe a couple of Transformers that that Christmas. We got a Optimus Prime was sold out. We were going to get him through JCPenney, but somebody returned him. And that one that got returned, we got that Optimus Prime, that one ended up being the gray roller metal plates version, the same exact Optimus Prime that we ended up selling to Peter Cullen back in 2006. So we had Transformers from, that year, and then we just decided, all right, just started, kept collecting them. My brother and I collected Star Wars toys starting in, I think, 1980. We got on that bandwagon a little late. We got as much of the retail stuff of that as we could, and then 84 came along, Transformers was something new, Star Wars was dying out, and 85, just kept getting everything we could, all the retail stuff that we could. And, we decided to make a choice, because Star Wars was dying out, so we decided to go down the Transformers route. And we got everything. Obviously, we didn't know about any of the foreign stuff at that point. But it was just, something, I guess, in the genes a little bit. We just like to collect things and such. Got everything from 84, 85, 86. It took us a while to get all the 84 toys because we didn't get them as they came out. So we got some of the ones that came out in 85 and 86, some of the versions that were in 84. I remember being bummed when there was no Bruticus gift set in the 1986 JCPenney catalog. We knew we were going to have trouble finding that one. We were bummed that there was no Computron or Abominus in the 1987 JCPenney catalog. We knew we were going to have trouble finding those. And obviously, the Abominus never came out here. We just kept going with that stuff, kept going with it. Transmasters. We found out about the Transmasters fan club in the back of one of the comic books, one of the original comic books. We signed up for that, got a newsletter. One of those newsletters, we got hooked up with a couple of people that I've known now for 20-plus years, Pete Sinclair, Rick Hoffman, who's another one of the early fans that we knew a lot of. Raksha, who ran the 1995 show. We contacted them through Transmasters. They contacted us, and we just got a hold of each other. Let's see. And then in 1990, when Transformers, went on hiatus, Tony, let's see. I lose track of the years.
They blend, don't they?
Yeah, they start to blend together, 20 some odd years ago. We did an article for Tomarts Magazine, a price guide for what it was at the time. We got a lot of help with that. But the main point was trying to get, good color pictures out there, because the only information that was out there in an official form was a very, very bad black and white little pictures out of the price guide. So we took a lot of our stuff down to Tomart Studios in Dayton, had them take pictures of it. They put a nice article in a magazine. It was Action Figure Digest. It was in the single digits. I want to say maybe number 7 or 8, sold out now. But then from that, Tony Pareto got a hold of us and then started to just blow my little brain, because he showed us all the Japanese stuff that we had no idea existed.
Let me ask you this, only because I'm listening to how it got created.
I'm getting to the convention part. I just have to tell all the backstory.
I know you are, but for some reason it just clicked into my head that you're going around 1980, 1981, 1982, and then you said that there was a standstill with Star Wars, which would have been around 85, which would have been Power of the Force. So my question, the thing that goes wraps around my head is if they had continued with Star Wars, would we now be talking about a Star Wars convention instead of a Transformers convention had they continued with the figures and the vehicles and everything past 85?
That would be a no. There's no way. No way. Absolutely not.
Because
no.
I'm like, wow. I mean, I when you said that, that's what went through my head. I'm like, I'm going this direction, and you just made me go, wow. I mean, but
no,
but anyway.
There was no way that we would do that. We so 92, Tony got a hold of us. We were talking about things. He called me from California. We were on the phone for, gosh, couple hours. He was telling me about stuff. Sorry, throat's getting a little dry. And then a couple of friends, I'd say local friends, but they were from Ohio and Illinois, Rick Hoffman, Pete Sinclair, Raksha. We all got together. This was the summer of 1993. We got together at one of the Kane County toy shows, which coincidentally is in St. Charles, Illinois. I know we're not going to talk about whatever, the new stuff, but it's in St. Charles, Illinois. And they have a toy show there two or three times a year. It's a huge, gigantic toy show, lots of vintage stuff. We had a booth there just selling, like, extra Transformer stuff just to kind of gauge interest. Because we had talked about, okay, 10th anniversary of Transformers is coming up. You know, by this time, G2 had come out, was starting to come out. But, you know, we should try to do something. We should try to do something for the 10th anniversary. So we contacted Hasbro. We contacted Hasbro to see if there would be, you know, if they would be able to supply exclusives for that. You know, we had no idea. We were obviously going into this completely blind. We just kind of built the convention based off of what we thought people would enjoy. You know, obviously those of you that have been around, it was a one-day show. It was in a, you know, relatively small room. There were maybe 225 people there, maybe 125 pre-registrants. There were, you know, somebody called me the Thursday before the it was the Tuesday before the convention. And he was calling from Los Angeles because he had flown over from Japan wanting to come to the show and wanting to get a booth. Well, all 10 of the booths were sold out. But we were able to get him in with Tony Prito, and Tony ended up knowing Fumihiko, you know, for years and years and years and years. Fumihiko now has his own dentistry business in Japan. I'm very happy for him. Hopefully, get to see him again.
That to me is and no disrespect to him, that's humble beginnings right there. Just to come under someone else, and everyone knows of him.
Right, right. Yeah, no. Fumihiko was, you know, there's 7 of us that have been to every BotCon, and Fumihiko a few years back now, he was the 8th person. There were a total of 8. I know Don missed 1 year in there. I think, yeah I know Don, sorry. Fumihiko
I have the set though.
Yeah, right. Fumihiko was number 8, and so there's 7 of us left, and, you know, we'll all be 85 years old, and we'll still be number 7. There'll still be 7 of us that will be going to every convention, wherever that convention may be, you know. But, you know, it was up to maybe 3 weeks before the convention, and we did not have a lot of pre-registrants. I mean, you know, however many pre-registrants the show has now, I don't know. I have no idea how many they have now. But, you know, we had maybe 65 or 70 at that point, 3 weeks or 4 weeks to go before the show. And we came real close to canceling the whole thing. The whole thing canceled it, sent stuff back to Hasbro, send everybody their money back. Because it was almost going to be just a complete mess. I mean, a complete loss of money. And, you know, stuff started coming in. And we got the exclusives from Hasbro, and so we just decided to go for it. And then, you know, we just wanted to put together the things that we thought people would enjoy. You know, some things that maybe people haven't seen, you know, a couple of episodes from Transformers Victory. You know, I know that stuff is all, people take that stuff for granted now, but back then it was all on videotape, and we had to buy it from, you know, friends that copied it in Japan, all that sort of crazy stuff. We had a Hasbro, you know, 2 Hasbro guys, Carl Fritz and Todd Bowman, I believe. Were their names, came and did a presentation, showed all the new toys. And the first question that I think they got, I think Don's was the second, but I think the first question that they got was, is Transformers dead after this year? And they said no. And that got a room full of applause. And that was a great moment, because there were people really, really concerned about it. And there were people concerned, I mean, because there were just not a lot of toys coming out. The Dreadwing was not yet out, but they showed it, and they demonstrated it with the whole Gatling gun thing you know, at that point was pretty revolutionary for a Transformers toy.
Yeah.
You know, and they showed the auto rollers, which, you know, rolling them back and forth. I know now they look very dated, but back then, I mean, it was just like the craziest thing. And people blew up at those too. They were super excited about those.
Carl, was that the year that we saw the GoBot Racing Rig?
That was the year that they
did not come out.
Right, that was the year they had the GoBot Racing Rig that did end up getting canceled. They did show that. They demonstrated that with the Ring of Fire and the barrels, all that stuff. It got pretty far along, and we used to have one of those at one point, but that's long sold since now. But that's kind of how the whole thing, you know, got going. And I remember, and this will sound funny, but I remember being at the end of that day thinking, oh my gosh, this is the most tired I've ever been. You know, it's the craziest convention. You know, it was busiest thing. And looking back at it, it was, excuse me, it was in one small room. It was one day. It was everything was self-contained, and it was the tiniest thing. If somebody would have told me then, like come back from 10, 15, 20 years in the future, come back then, actually, this is nothing compared to what BotCon is going to be, so just buckle up.
Sure.
Because this is gonna be crazy.
Let me ask you this much. Have you gone, before that, had you gone to any other type convention? Because I know... Prior to that, they still had Star Wars conventions. Star Trek conventions were really big back then. Had you gone to anything like that just to gauge how they did it, or did you just go, you know, off the seat of your pants, this is how we're going to do it?
We had never been to a convention. We were just actually going into it blind, completely blind.
That's amazing.
No, go ahead.
No, I just said that's amazing. Seeing as you didn't have anything to go by. It's not like you even went and looked at what other people were doing with different franchises and this, that, and the other. You're saying that you just said I'm going to do this and you went with it. That's pretty ballsy.
Yeah, it was. I mean, we had to make some decisions, but I mean, it was just basically we looked at it as how we were, you know, collectors. We were more. I would say this. We're more collectors, probably primary, and fans secondary. I mean, we got all the comic books. We watched all the cartoons in the U.S. We got all that stuff. But we're more collectors. We looked at it from a collector kind of standpoint a little bit. And we just said, all right, what are things that people are going to like? What are things that people are going to want to see there? Well, we put, you know, our collection as much as we had on display in the back room. And we had, you know, vendors. And we had, you know, a little art contest, which was maybe three or four tables worth of just stuff. And there was some great artwork there. A couple of them were still some of the best pieces of artwork I've seen at a convention. And, you know, we had a couple guest speakers, and then the Hasbro folks, and then that was it. And then we picked up the Hasbro guys from the airport that day and then took them back, you know, that night. And then the next day, my brother and I and Tony Prieto went to amusement park and roller coasters.
Carl, I've got a listener question from our Facebook group. Listener, yep. Mike Boyle says, greetings, Carl. I have found so many fond memories from BotCon from the 90s, and I'm sure that the stories you have are voluminous and entertaining. Have you and your brother considered writing a book, perhaps approaching a publisher about your years as Transformers collectors and convention organizers?
There are a lot of stories that can be told. There are probably a lot that can't be told.
That sounds like two books. That sounds like two books right there.
Yeah, there's a.
It played more out like Game of Thrones or Lord of the Rings.
three books, because then Carl would remember all the stuff that he's forgotten about as he's writing the other two.
Oh,
so there'd be a third book.
Yeah, there's a lot of stories. We'd have to piece some things together, and I'm sure there's still some things in there that would not be would not be told, or there would be, you know, differences of opinion of certain the way things happen. But yeah, it's a long, crazy journey that this thing has been on, and it'll still continue. You know, I'm confident of that, that it's going to keep on going. It would take too much time. I mean, I know it'd be fun to relive some of that stuff, but it would take entirely too much time. And, you know, I don't know how many of you guys, some of you guys know, I've got a kid coming in September.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. That's the next big thing for me, and that is the primary thing.
That is definitely a step, trust me.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this, and I think what we're going to do is let's start with not only the oldest member, but the one that's been to the most conventions. And then we'll just work our way backwards. So let's go with the oldest member. The oldest member being Headmaster Don, the oldest member. Go ahead.
Well, back in my day, we had to walk up the stairs both ways in the snow. Anyway,
there were no planes, only wagons, covered wagons to get to the show.
Well, considering how small the Fort Wayne Airport is, that was not far from the truth. Actually, my story with John and Carl start a little bit before BotCon. Because I wrote into a magazine called Action Figure News and Toy Review. Lee's Action Figure. Yes. I had asked if they had ever made a prototype RC, and they responded no. John and Carl saw that and corrected them that there was a prototype made. It just never got past that stage. And then I think you sent the BotCon information to Lee's, who sent it to me, and that's how I got it in the mail about the first BotCon. And that was my first plane trip. I've been to conventions before because, you know, I was 24 at the time. I just didn't do a lot of traveling.
It's old, but go ahead.
It's old. So we flew into Fort Wayne, and I remember being in line. I was the first person in line for the dealer room that day. And it was this huge room, but all the dealers were way over here on this side, on the right, and then you had the stage or the raised platform, the chairs for all the visitors and stuff on the left. So I'm sitting there first one at the door, and I peek around the corner, and I see boxes of 94 of G2 Breakdown. And I turn to the person beside me and says, "It's Breakdown. It's G2 Breakdown." And Carl goes, "Shh, shh." I said, "Well, it's a shh." I said, "Okay." And so the doors open, and you're gonna think I'm crazy, but I swear, when I got in there, we got registered, we got our toy, went to the dealer's room, the dealer section. It was like the gates of heaven opened up. Angels were singing the choir. And stuff I had only ever seen in my catalogs that I was getting from the guy in Japan that I was trading Kmart Legend Bumblebees for VHS copies of Master Force and Victory. He would send me the various catalogs. That's how come up from Tony Prito. I bought God Bomber based on the catalog design. Not knowing that was not a real thing, but that's neither here nor there. So, I mean, I see Star Saber, Victory Leo, Galaxy I see all this stuff. And that's probably one of the most important days of my life as a collector, seeing that I thought I had a good collection. Hell no. No.
You pitiful rebellion.
Exactly. I thought, I have a great collection at home on my desktop. Not anymore. Because it was just everything you could imagine. And then, of course, we saw all the great stuff from G2 that we had gotten. And when Carl was talking about Dreadwing, I can't remember the gentleman's name. I know you said I can't remember his name. He put the jet in like a half transform mold and folded the Gatling gun out. he launched the missiles, and they almost cleared an 8-foot table. And and we were all like, yeah, yeah. Because it's like a Gatling gun thing that shoots missiles like 8 feet, you know, what's not to like. And then we saw all the stuff that we wound up not getting, you know, the because I mentioned this last week, Carlos. I wish they would go back and make that GoBot racing rig. It just was such a fun little thing. I wish if they could resurrect it, I kind of would want to see that again.
Yeah, but, Well, speaking of that, I mean, you know, Pete and, you know, Brian, they worked it out so that they did a newer version of the Pretender Gorilla. I don't know if they could actually go and do the racing rig. That'd be pretty crazy.
Yeah, well,
I don't know if that's possible, but that'd be pretty cool though.
Yeah, that's more nostalgia talking, but there's a lot of GoBot and Spy Changer fans that still love those from the various series, so that would be kind of something if it could work with, you know, all scale cars like that. But yeah, that was the start for me. It was, you know, and I'm going to end my part by saying, imagine a 25-year-old man running through O'Hare to catch his connecting flight back because my arriving flight was late, carrying Victory, Leo, and about four other Transformers whose boxes are too big to fit in the suitcase, holding it with his chin, running the length of O'Hare to meet his next plane.
I see that all the time. What are you talking about?
I started to say, I'd pay $10 to sit. Wait a minute. I see
that. So that was my first BotCon. And then 95 with Raksha. And then there was no 96 because it doesn't exist. And I missed 97. Unfortunately, I was gainfully unemployed at the time. But John Carr was nice enough to let me buy a set, which is the awesome Fractal and Pack Rat. And the original Fractal and Pack Rat, and then 98 it's picked back up from there. I will say this though: in 2004, I had a choice of going to OTFCC 2004 or the last BotCon in Pasadena, as far as run by John and Carl. I have never regretted because that convention in Pasadena, all of us that were there, have such fond memories of that little show out in Pasadena.
Yes.
And that Action Master breakdown was still one of my treasured pieces. So I'm going to thank you publicly, Carl, for everything you and John did. Y'all have been my friends for so many years. Y'all have been awesome. You've also been sneaky bastards that I'm still never going to forgive you for a couple of things. BotCon has been a major part of my life for the last 20 years, and I wouldn't change much of anything.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that, Don. I wanted to you touched on something, and I wanted to go back to 94 for a second because one of the biggest things that I got out of 94, you know, thinking about it now and considering, you know, obviously the market on toys, you know, will go up, especially Transformers. It seems like it goes up all the time. And this may be something that, you know, some of the newer fans might not get. They see the price of these, you know, AFA graded original cars and original jets, like the 84 and 85 stuff. This one guy from Rugby Starbase, his name is Matt Warsaki. Still to this day, he had one of the largest booths ever at a BotCon, you know, before, you know, Joel had, you know, 90 tables or whatever he has now. But he had two booths of three tables each, so six tables, and then double-stacked tables. So there was a grand total of 12 tables completely full of everything. There were cases of sealed G1 cars, cases, like full cases of jets, of cars. So there were sealed, sealed-on-card Constructicons and all the mini-merge guys. There was a sealed case of one Fortress Maximus. There were, you know, Action Master Optimus Primes, 4 and 5D, Action Master Megatrons, 3 and 4D, Duck Crunchers, 3 and 4D, you know, stuff that is just, you know, I don't know how much a sealed case of Autobot cars would go for.
Does anyone have a time machine?
No, no kidding, right? I mean, and they were being sold for, in the dealer room, they were like, $70 a piece, and that was on the high end. You know, that's what people thought was on the high end. Yeah, sorry, Brett.
Yeah, God, you hurt me.
But on, I guess out in the hallway before the show, there was somebody going by with, you know, a bag full of sealed cards. They were like $35 a piece. Just unbelievable at these early shows what stuff used to go for. Now stuff, you know, it's
I see
AFA graded, you know, like aerial bots, original aerial bots go for like $800-$900.
Oh yeah,
it's just the craziest thing.
Well,
time machine and a few $1,000.
Oh, absolutely. Well, there was one thing that you said there that I just want to hit on real quick. About the guy outside selling his stuff. And this is kind of giving away a little secret. I'll do it anyway. Every BotCon I've ever gone to, and I've gone since 2000, not as old as Don, but 2000. There's always that one guy. There's always that one guy that's walking around the lobby selling stuff dirt cheap every year. The people that think, that stuff's too high priced and everything. It's every year you get that diamond in the rough. Every year you see the guy that's just, I'm just selling this stuff, I don't care. Every year it happens. And from 2000 on to present, I've been every year from 2000, I've done every convention. I did OTFCC. I did BotCon every year. I did everything I could. And I see it consistently every year. I might not always get there in time, but it happens. So that's absolutely correct. It's amazing when that happens. And even though I am kind of on the evil dealer side, I love it when I see that. I think it's neat to see, because you see Don being a little giddy schoolgirl running up there and just happy to get it.
Are you giddy? Is not absolutely just seven. I should have been 7 years old in pigtails.
I've seen it.
I mean, get it out of my head.
It gets worse. If anyone's ever watched The Toy Hunter, if you watch The Toy Hunter at the beginning, they do the little intro. And you see the guy talking about the Boba Fett, and he jumps up and down, and he's all giddy and everything. I've seen it. I've seen a grown man make that noise. I mean, just, it's so funny.
The high-pitched, they're
happy.
Yeah, now, yeah. Dogs in neighboring counties start looking up to see what the sound was.
So now, I do have a little side question before we end with Don. After I've said that, the grown man all giddy and everything, Carl, being responsible for numerous grown men making that noise, and I don't mean in a sexual endeavor.
Easy, Brett. Easy.
That's what she said.
Not touching it.
Carl, what do you think about that?
Well, I'm just glad that we were able to give, you know, collectors and fans an opportunity or a way to get together, you know, that may not have felt like there was any place to, you know, get together, you know, even though it's only once a year. You know, it's good. It's a good feeling that, you know, this is one of the things I wanted to talk about. You know, it wasn't just us. It was a combination of things. We happened to be in the right place at the right time, and we took a chance. You know, other people could have done it. Other people could have done the show. We just happened to be the ones like, all right, let's take a chance and see what happens. And, you know, for it to do what it did and to do what it continues to do, not in the past tense, in the current and future tense, you know, it's fun, you know, seeing kids. That's the best thing.
And elderly men, go ahead.
Elderly men, yeah. See,
you're not gonna let it go.
I'm not. No.
Okay. We're gonna come back to that in a second. Actually, we're gonna come back to that in a quick second. But you know, just seeing these people being able to, you know, get, you know, either relive their childhood, you know, bring their current kids into this, you know, seeing new kids, young kids that enjoy Transformers as much as, you know, we did when we were younger, you know, still do. I think that's, you know, the biggest reward that we can get for this sort of stuff. You know, I will say, Brett, to get back to one of the things that you said, when we were at the Children's Museum in Indianapolis opening it, we were talking to the one of the museum managers, and she said, yeah, I've never seen an exhibit that, you know, seven-year-old people, you know, scream and jump around and go around the corner when they see it, and I've never seen the same thing happen to 47-year-old people. They scream and jump up and down and go around the corner when they see all the toys, which says the same thing.
Absolutely. Same thing. Absolutely. That's awesome.
Well, when we had the Midwest Collectors meet up about a month or so ago, a few of us went over to the Indianapolis Children's Museum and checked out the exhibit. And I have to say that Beast Wars setup was off the flipping chain. The diorama that was there, that I couldn't believe that. But
well, about that. I was going to say about that, I will say we had the idea just to put the, just to have a Beast Wars display and have all the characters. They were the ones that actually put that display all together themselves. We had no input. I mean, they're a top level organization at the Children's Museum. I mean, they had just gotten done doing a whole display on the Terracotta Warriors, you know, just the first ones in the United States to display all those. And they do a bang up job with everything that they do.
Wow,
it was great. We were glad to help. And honestly, you know, I was at Pete Sinclair's house. We were putting together, you know, things we wanted to do based off of a list that they had. And if I would have known that all 160 or 70 toys that we took over there were actually going to take up that little room, we probably would have taken more. We would have figured out a way to do more.
But absolutely,
yeah. Going to what you were talking about, you know, about the 47-year-olds walking around and everything. I mean, we were in there, and this room is full of kids and parents and everything. And here we were, these grown adult men with Transformer T-shirts on. We're walking around. We're like,
wait a minute, Duron, you didn't trample any little kids, did you? Okay, you didn't trample. Okay, don't. No,
we just on the show. We discussed before the show we were not going to talk about that, Brett. Okay.
My apologies. Never mind.
I know where you live. I can come slap you. but no, I mean, I walk in there, and the very first case, I walk up there, and I'm like, it's a werewolf. Oh, look, it's a werewolf. Even though I have one right here. Yeah. But I mean, and then we're walking around. It's like, oh, look how hilariously mistransformed that one is. Like that. And there's this woman, I kid you not, was standing next to me, and I think it was one G that was standing next to me. But there was like a masterpiece sound wave that was like all jacked up, you know, and we was talking about how hilariously mistransformed it was. And this woman just kept looking at us, and she turned to her husband, I guess, and went, nerds. And they walked off.
Yes. Yes. You were well, found out.
Yes.
I will say, to our defense, everything that we lent them was transformed correctly. So I don't know what in the world happened in the cleaning process. It took a couple of weeks to clean everything, you know, get all the dust out as much as they could.
I think they had Soundwave's gun actually turned around backwards to where the chrome part was like pointing up his shoulder.
Yeah. And there was never an opportunity for us to get in there and try to fix everything. So we just said, we'll just leave it.
It's still a very nice display, though.
It is. Yeah, it's a very, very wonderful exhibit to go to.
Somebody mentioned.
Yes.
No, go ahead. Yes.
I have a story from 2004 that has never been told, and I want to tell that story.
Well, I was actually there, so I'm ready to hear this one.
Okay. Well, you know, I kind of want to frame this a certain way. You know, in light of, you know, things that happen. We'll just put this file this under sometimes things just happen. Okay. Yeah. You know, we had 2004 was the first and only official, you know, we had dinners at BotCon all the time, but we had BotCon breakfast. We decided to do something completely different. Well, what was the free exclusive? And again, it was free. Those people that say that, you know, it was third party and whatever, it was free. We didn't sell the thing. We never sold the thing.
Right.
It was, you know, it was free to those that go to the breakfast. Well, there was an issue because I don't even remember the guy's name that, you know, we were working with to get the G2 breakdown.
Prowl Pants.
Action Master. Who was it?
Prowl Pants.
Okay.
I actually have a werewolf that he did.
Oh.
He did some fantastic work.
He did, and the breakdown ended up great. However, you know, under the file of things that just happen, you know, that you can't control, things being completely out of your control. We did not get those breakdowns until that morning. They were FedExed overnight because he kept putting it off. And in fact, I don't know, Brett, do you remember that you got the breakdown at the end of the breakfast? Do you remember that at all? Or no. We got it at lunch. You got it at lunch that day. Because
Can I lie or tell the truth?
You can... Well, tell the truth. I mean, there's nothing.
The truth was I didn't want to pay for the dinner or the breakfast, so I missed out. And Rose, who I was with, we had went in together on a booth. She did, and she walked out with this breakdown, and my jaw dropped, and I was like, I'll give you $100 for that. And I want to say that dinner was like $15.
It wasn't much.
I'm sorry, not dinner, but breakfast. It was like nothing. And I'm like, I'll give you $100 for that thing. That thing is awesome. Nope. I was like, so I wound up getting one later on the secondary market because I was too stupid to pay for the breakfast. But the person I was with got it right after the breakfast. We were getting ready to open up the dealer room, and she was like, look what I got, you know. So I do know that some people got them, at least some people got them right after the breakfast.
Yeah, I believe, I'm trying to remember. I know half of them, I think half of them came then. We got the second box at noon because it was, I mean, he was so late in getting those to us. He had to next day them, and we got it like before noon. We got some of them that we were able to give out, and we had a checklist to make sure. And, you know, nobody ever knew that. We just said, you know, there's a little bit of a delay.
Right. You know, and, he was there at the show, too, wasn't he?
I don't remember that.
let me see if I can find it. I think I actually have a picture of him because he was doing other things, and I found out later he was the one that did the. He was the one that did that exclusive. Oh my goodness.
He was from the UK, I believe. Prowl Pants.
Where the heck is it?
I don't remember. My brother would know. My brother dealt more specifically with him than I did, certainly.
Well, talk amongst yourselves while I look through a ton of pictures.
you know, and we were able to, you know, get around certain things because that G2 logo was not under copyright or trademark at the time that it was used. It was the trademark or the copyright for that image had run out. So it was open for anything. So it was, you know, it was available for use, and that's how we were able to use that. We would not have used it had it been, you know, a trademark thing. You know, we skirted around some things, certainly, and we were able to make it work. And I think it was a fun thing, certainly, for that show. You know, we always talked about if we could have done that show a little bit differently. You know, we could have maybe had the dealer or the.
Now, that was also the year that Tony Prito displayed his collection, right?
Supposedly
one of every Transformer.
Yeah, and that was pretty crazy. He helped bail us out because we didn't have as many dealers as we would have liked or vendors as we would have liked. So he helped fill that room.
Because I think I remember that being the first time I saw all eight of the Japanese only headmasters in one place at one time.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, he is incredible. He's been great for the hobby, you know, over the years, you know, being a vendor at the shows, you know, having stuff that nobody else has, or, you know, able to help with information and stuff. And he had his own newsletter back in the day, you know, 94, 95. That was the first time that I had seen images of the Cyberjet extra weapons and armor that never ended up getting released. Mm. And still never seen those actually come out anywhere.
You know, that's something I'd like to see that you guys did back in the day. I'd like to see implemented again in future BotCons. Even though many of us have had many different Transformers throughout our lives as a collector, there's still a vast many of us out there that have not seen certain molds in person. And what I would love to see come back is like a room set up with displays, you know, of all Transformers. I know that would be a huge display, and it may take many people to put it together. But, I mean, that would be something, is to have a mini museum accessible by all fans of BotCon that go to BotCon.
Yeah, that would be crazy. It would involve a lot of security. It would involve a lot of checklists of, you know, who donated what, and, you know, there'd be a lot of, I mean, no doubt it would be incredible. Of actual physical visible checklist of everything. That'd be pretty unbelievable to see. It would be a logistical nightmare, but it would be phenomenal to see. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Of course, we could omit anything, you know, Energon or anything like that, because nobody cares. But yeah,
you know that's the thing with the history of you know, even with the history of BotCon. You know, I know Don said 96 didn't exist. 96 did exist. If there wasn't a 96, a 96, there wouldn't have been a 97 the way it was.
Right. Oh, I know. It's just 96 was just such a. That just sums it up right there. You know, cake with no plates, name badges that were stickers, watching videos outside on an AV cart.
Well, you know, you hear about that, and there are, you know, I don't know how many people knew this. It was Ryan Squierdo from Cybertron.com. He either put a bid in for, I think it was the 96 show. I think we were deciding either between Dennis Barger and Men in Black or Ryan Izquierdo. And I guess we just chose Dennis Barger. You know, if there wasn't that show, there wouldn't have been, you know, the way things got together with 97 and, you know, the way that whole path turned and made its twists and turns through time and the different shows.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to hate me for saying this, but I was a late goer to BotCon. I didn't become an adult collector until 99. And I think that was the year. What was the year that you was in Durham, North Carolina? 2000? Okay, so that was the first BotCon that I actually heard of. And I was trying to get the funds together, and then I got the funds together to go, but my work at the time wouldn't allow me off because I had just started like a few months before. And so my very first Transformers convention, unfortunately, was OTFCC 04. I had the choice to go to BotCon in California or OTFCC, and me being in Kentucky, the closer one won out. And that's really the only reason. Yeah. It was more of a financial reason for me, and I don't want to go into everybody knows what happened that year. But I kind of, you know, I hear all these awesome stories from that last BotCon that you guys did, and I'm like, damn, I wish I'd went to that one. You know, I mean, I did enjoy my time at OTFCC because I would go on to go to many more BotCons. I mean, you know, I've been to many different conventions, and BotCon, I think that's the number one thing that keeps me coming back. And I think that's the question I'm getting at here too, is BotCon more or less to me is the fan experience, is the experience that you get with other people that like the same brand as you. And whenever you were putting together BotCon, you said you were mainly collectors, but how, what kind of thought processes did you go into for making it a fan experience? I mean, not just ideas that you had, but I mean, how much did you want it to be more of a fan experience than, okay, here's more or less a dealer room, just go and buy toys, and here's a couple guests. I mean, I hope that's not too complex a question. Well,
no. I mean, we, you know, it just is, it evolved over time. You know, we had to have certain aspects of it. You know, you have to have, you know, the dealer room. You have to have, you know, when you can view videos or whatever. Now, obviously, everybody has their own videos, so that's kind of fallen away. But, you know, you have guests. You know, Raksha did her first thing, which I thought was great. Her first, when she did it in 95, she did like this laser light show set to the music of the original 86 movie soundtrack. You know, something just creative that had never been done before. Oh, that's cool. That's a great idea. You know, and we try to, you know, do different things, you know, every year for, you know, what fans might like. You know, some like the costume contest, you know, that seems to be a popular thing. You know, I had my picture taken last year with a couple of incredible costumes that are taller than me, and you know, that's pretty tall. And you know, it's just some things where we're just looking at different sorts of things to try and do. Some things work, some things don't. You know, it's just a trial or error thing. You know, we just try to come up with different ideas, and I think, you know, Pete and Brian, I think they try to do as good a job as they can within the financial limits of what they can deal with to do new things, to try to do different things. Like I said, some work, some don't. You know, and I just think that's what they try to do.
I know how you said that, you know, if somebody from now would take a time machine back and tell you what BotCon, how big BotCon would be, and it would blow your mind. But I mean, in BotCon in and of itself, even today, is a mind-blowing experience in my opinion. I mean, every time I've went, I've enjoyed it. The bottom line, you know, can you what in your opinion do you think you would have thought about the things that we do today at BotCon if somebody went back and told you, hey, Frank Welker's coming this year? You know,
you may not have known, we were real close to getting him in 97. We almost had both Frank and Peter in 97, and it just came to a point where we ran out of money. And we had to make the choice, Frank Welker or Peter Cullen. And we made the choice of Peter Cullen because he was, you know, I guess a little bit more iconic of the two, even though, you know, Frank Welker's still incredible. And, you know, not getting into money, certainly, but he was a lot more affordable back then than now.
He did do the nice recorded message.
Absolutely, yeah, and the sound wave without going through the voice modulator, so it just sounded like, yeah, it just sounded like a really, right. Yeah. But, yeah, no, he did, and he was actually very legitimately, you know, sorry he couldn't be there. You know, he was actually, you know, they were looking forward to it. That would have been incredible, you know, with those two guys and with the two Beast Wars actors and with the, you know, the concert that went, you know, wildly over budget. But that's, you know, an experience for everything, certainly. You know, that was a pretty phenomenal show as it was. Now that was another show of a learning experience.
Well, Carl, let me ask you this. In the first 10 years, what you had to go through getting exclusives is probably a podcast by itself on forming the relationships with Hasbro and through them to Takara, getting the exclusives made, setting up the price points. Because I tell people all the time, you don't know how lucky you are seeing what you have in advance. Back in the day, all we had was a size class and a general price point. You know, we could say, okay, it's a Voyager. Well, we know it'll be a Voyager from the last 2 years or so, give or take, but we had no idea what it could be. In the first 10 years, what do you think is your crowning achievement as far as the exclusive toys, and what is the one thing that you just could not get that you wanted?
That's a tough question. I would say, honestly, the exclusive that kind of set up everything was probably the Fractal and Pack Rat 2-pack. Because the way that, you know, Glenn envisioned the package and how it all came out, you know, having a comic book with it, you know, I will never forget when we did that at the dinner. I mean, there were a lot of oohs and ahs and shocked faces when we pulled that 2-pack out, because they just hadn't seen anything. Like, it was Beast Wars, but it was kind of in a little bit of a G1 type of package, a little bit kind of, with the grid design and all that. But I think that's the one that kind of was like, oh, you know, coming after the things that had come before, you know, not disparaging those things, but all right. Not disparaging the Night Racer or the Onyx Primal, not disparaging those things, but it was another progression past that. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, people are like, oh, now we're in a different ballgame. And, you know, when, you know, the things that came after that, you know, I don't know, remember the exact order. I know there's Antagony. I know there's Sandstorm. I know there's, like, Cat Scan, Cyclonus. I know there's all this. I don't remember the exact order. RC and Tigatron, right. But, yeah, I mean, a different thing. You know, we did the little voice chip with RC. You know, just different sorts of things. You know?
The voice Brett, chip that would never shut up.
Yeah. Well... It was an idea, you know.
It was neat, but never shut up.
and so what's, and I'm sure you've mentioned this in the past to us at the shows and stuff, but for the listeners, what is the one exclusive you wanted but just could not get for whatever reason?
I don't think I'm going to get in trouble for saying this. But we were originally, and it's still up for debate if this stuff is even in existence anymore. Evidently, somewhere, because we did talk to some people at Hasbro, who I will not name, that said that this stuff was in existence. There were beyond, supposedly, now Paul Hitchens might not agree with him. Paul's a great guy. Paul's freaking great, and I want to see... Paul, if you're listening or if you're watching, I want to see your last BotCon panel at some point, because I know what you're going to show. I know one thing you're going to show, and I want to see that. But besides that, one of the things that evidently was in existence that we wanted to do, we tried to do, and somebody pulled the plug on it and couldn't do it. There was another series of Action Masters, supposedly based off of movie designs, like physical prototypes based off of movie designs. And we had talked about doing like a 5-pack or a 10-pack of those. Like, it would have been like the movie cast of characters. Now, that, you know, is the stuff of legend. We had talked about that, and somebody from Hasbro said it was in existence, and then they pulled the plug on it. The contact that I've been talking to pulled the plug on it, and, you know, nothing ever came of it, obviously. I think that would have been incredible. Some people are fans of Action Masters, some people aren't. But I think just getting anything that was, there you go, but getting anything that, you know, was planned and then was canceled, trying to produce that stuff again, I think that's a cool thing. We had talked more recently, until more of these started showing up, we had talked about, and I think before we had sold ours, the unproduced set of GoBots, we had talked about maybe reverse engineering the Jeep and another one and having them as like souvenirs or something for a convention. I know not everybody would have enjoyed them, you know, compared to the now, the articulation of toys now. But it's just the fact of the matter, they were unproduced. I mean, and even now they exist in very short numbers, very, very low numbers.
Yeah.
But I still think it would have been kind of cool.
Because I've always been saying that ever since in the past 10 years or so, use the UK molds, the Turbomaster molds, the Thunderclash mold. Get those molds mm-hmm. back out as viable toys while the molds are still good. But they don't have the articulation everybody wants. Which doesn't bother me because before we had elbows, we counted ourselves lucky.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of the molds that we just can't get. I mean, they don't exist. They're in the ocean. I mean, that's the way I understand it. I mean, Pete knows a lot more of that stuff than I do.
Yeah.
But I know some of that stuff is, just simply not available. I know they get a mold list of what is possible, but yeah, not everything's possible that would look great. Would look great on a Digibash, you know, whatever. It was, you know, oh man, this would be perfect. Yeah, that would be perfect. However, that mold's not available.
Some clownfish in the middle of the Pacific using it for his home.
So now, what I wanted to talk about before I go to Tobias, so you could get the non-U.S. version of the story and what his effect is. I started in 2000, and the one thing that I wanted to say thank you for is that there are certain people that I only get to see once a year. And I know Don mentioned this, but it's absolutely true. These are people that I met online that, yes, I went to a convention and actually met them. I mean, now you – got to worry about it being, you know, a cop and not a 14-year-old girl, whatever, you know what I mean, you know, set up. But yeah, and we go to the show, and these are friends that I've had ever since. And you know what I'm saying? I mean, these are friends that you only see once a year, but you have that connection. You have the connection with the show. And I want to thank you for putting on that show, and I came in late. I came in 2000, but I went to every show all the way up to 2004, and I've been going ever since up until I'm already registered for this year. So, but it's people that you don't see, and I've got friends in Europe, Indonesia, Canada, and yes, even as far away as California. So, I mean, and these are people I only get to see. Now, the funny part is people kind of, they don't think too highly of that. They're just like, oh, well, whatever. I actually flew to Texas, and due to problems, I missed a flight. And I told a buddy of mine that I met at BotCon. And rather than going to a hotel, he said, come to my house. So I went to, you know, his house, had a wonderful, and in case anyone doesn't know, but in Texas, leftovers are a steak this big, a baked potato bigger than your head. And those were the leftovers that were fed to me by someone that doesn't really know me, only knew me from the shows. Gave me a ride to the airport, and off I went. I mean, those are the connections. Those are the connections that you get from your show. From your show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, one of the things that I mentioned this, you know, many years ago at the show, and it still holds true today. Yes, BotCons are like family reunions. You know, you get together. You know, you only get together once a year. You know, sometimes the family's a little dysfunctional. Sometimes you have disagreements. But at the end of the day, you're still family.
Right.
And, you know, you all have the common, you know, the common interests and the common things. And, you know, you can be mad at each other for a little bit. But, you know, you give each other a hug, pat each other on the back, you know, see you next year. That
rib
sort
fur.
Of thing.
Rib fur or fur rib? Truck, not monkey.
But, you know. Right, right. I mean, just all that stuff that at the end of the day, you know, it's you know, takes a back seat to, you know, friendships and relationships that you've, you know, gathered over the years, now over 22 years, 21 years. You know, it's pretty crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy. The number of people you get connections with, you know, it's just, you know, it's humbling to think about, you know, two guys taking a chance helped, you know, people get connections, but I guess that ends up being what it was.
Well, actually,
and that's what makes it that much. That's, you know, just so much special. That's not what you intended, but that's what it turned out to be.
Well, heck, Carl, people that met at BotCon have gotten married. I mean,
and had kids, I mean, and have now brought their kids to the convention. So there's Transformers fan generation two, right?
Well,
so I mean, and it's great.
It is, but I got a funny story for you. And people that know me, they know that I started out collecting. And what happens when you get almost everything you want? Well, then you start amassing extras, so then you turn to the dealer portion. And before I did that, I brought my kids, and I have three wonderful boys, and I brought them in, and I'm like, you know, these are Transformers, these are great, this, that, and the other. And I want to do football, I want to do baseball, I want to do... So I didn't get that connection. However, when I told the middle son, and this is, you know, you sell this, you make this much money, you do this, you make this much... Now that's interesting. It kind of slid in on the dealer aspect. I mean, so it's kind of funny. It still brought him into the fray, but he's more into the the dealer aspect, you know? Yeah, you know, be mad at me if you want, but it's true. And it's still Transformer related. And it's still BotCon related. Because, you know, you can't really have a BotCon without the dealer room. Sorry, but... the necessary evil. So I always thought that was funny that we didn't come in on the bright and cheerful collector side. We came in under the kind of gray area of the dealer side.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, that's how we got, you know, the show before BotCon. I mean, that's how we had kind of got the thing started a little bit. And, you know, we've had tables at things, and, you know, obviously some people know we're going to have a table at this show, but that's neither here nor there. You know, there's place for everybody at the convention. You know, place for the people that don't collect, place for the people that have, that are just fans, you know, that they just, you know, enjoy the cartoons, people that, you know, dress up, people that, you know, fans of anime or whatever that want to, meet with the guests, you know, just all sorts of different types of people. And the demographic keeps getting, the demographic being different kinds of fans, you know, keeps changing and growing and evolving. And that's a challenge in and of itself to see where those different paths go.
And I agree with you on that, because you have different cultures, different aspects of life. And I'm kind of hoping Tobias will jump in here. What's your take on this?
Well, I started collecting late as well. I think it was the first movie in 2007, live action movie, that sparked my interest again for Transformers. And I think it was in 2008 or 2009, I read about BotCon the first time, that there actually was something called BotCon, and it was a distant dream then, back then. but eventually, I went in 2011, first time, went over to Pasadena, Los Angeles. just to visit BotCon. So that was a great, great experience. Overwhelming, of course. Got to meet a lot of people, standing in line a lot.
That's any convention you go to, though.
Yeah, I know, I know. Yeah, of course, meeting a lot of people. But I remember the first time getting into the dealer's room. Yeah, and I was that little giddy girl that you talked about. Look at that! Like, look at that!
Overload!
That was things that I only read about, because here in Scandinavia, okay, we had a couple of gatherings, conventions, but they are very sparse, to say the least. Then along came Auto Assembly and so on and so forth. But yeah, I was not familiar with these kind of toys, so I only seen them in pictures. So imagine yourself going into this room, and you've all been there and experienced this. Yeah, wow. Well, fast forward a couple of years, 2014, I went there again at the BotCon. So I think I hit two really good BotCons, in my opinion. 2011, great BotCon. I'm talking about the theme, then. It was the animated one. And in 2014, of course, I met up with both Don and Brett. It's great. I just started out doing this podcast, and it was so great to meet you all, and Brett's wonderful family there. We had a lot of fun, and
lots of drink.
Yeah,
we had a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was good. No, it was a different experience 2014, because I already been there in 2011. So this first impact that is BotCon, of course, it's great. I think it's really great. That had settled. I was more prepared for what was coming. So I could more engage with the fans, other fans, that is. And so, yeah, that was really great. It was level-headed BotCon for me.
And the good thing is, by meeting me and Brett, you were already batting 500 at your first BotCon.
Exactly. You got to see the young and the old.
Yeah.
I walked right into that one.
Yes, you did.
That was me walking to the doors, and then just boom.
And then you got me going, hey, guys, wait up.
Yeah, but excuse me.
No, go ahead, Tobias. Go ahead.
I just want to say, I don't think we can explain enough what an impact this convention is, really, for someone who hasn't been there. We can say, yeah, it's great, and you're overwhelmed by this and that, but yeah, it's so hard to explain. You have to experience it. I was mentioning it, the standing in line, which was just so overwhelming. Wow, there is a lot of people here. I understand why we are standing in line for this. But yeah, even that was great fun, talking to people, standing in line, and getting to know. But it's so overwhelming. You have to go like at least 2-3 times, I think, to BotCon, because first time, everything just disappears in a haze. You have to land, sort of, to absorb it all. But then the second time, yeah, like I said, it was more leveled. But I think I have to go a third time, at least.
Well, this year's the year.
Yes, it
yeah,
is.
I can't go. We're moving and all that.
Yeah, well, yeah. He has that little excursion to the UK where he's moving his entire life.
Yeah.
So that's
just
a little more important.
Well, I think essentially, like Tobias said, BotCon is a good institution, and from the outside looking in, people that you tell, you know, it's like you tell your coworkers, you're getting ready to go on vacation. They ask you where you're going to, and you say, well, I'm going, like this year, I'm going to Chicago to BotCon. And they're like, BotCon, what's that? And well, it's a Transformer convention. And they, you know, to us, BotCon is a good institution of things, but to the outside world, people think we need to be in an institution. Like Tobias said, though, the experiences that you have at BotCon, BotCon isn't just about the toys. For at least for me, it's not. I mean, the toys are a great plus, and they're essentially what bring me there. But what keeps me coming back are the people and the ability to get together in this environment. And without you guys, you and your brother, setting up this great convention and starting it all those years ago, and eventually coming to be what it is today. I mean, I look back and I wasn't able to go to any of those early conventions. I kind of came on as an adult collector very late. You know, I mean, I collected them back in the 80s and then got out of toys and then got back in as an adult in 99. And I really, really wish I had a time machine to go back to some of these early cons, because it seems to me, you know, I've been to a couple smaller, closer knit conventions where, you know, there's not as many people attending, but it's just BotCon, you know. I mean, there's something about that name, BotCon, that that just has the draw to it.
Well, it's when you say the name, people that have been there a couple of times have a feel for it. Like what Tobias was saying, you need several times under your belt to get a feel for it, because every time's a little different. But when you go to someone that's been there a while and you say BotCon coming up, we all get the same kind of just undescribable sense of cool. That's awesome. You know, it's just it's an entity. Yeah, it's excitement, but it's here we are. Comfortable familiarity is what I would, because you see your friends, you see all the great toys, you have the events, you know you're going to have fun. And in the early years, it was, you know, y'all getting Cypher and Doug to do MST3K. Brilliant. I think that's one of the highlights of the early years is, you know, all the – you could do the movie 4 years in a row, because there was enough material for them to riff on the movie for 4 years in a row, plus everything else, you know. But, you know, it's just – I don't know. It's just – it changed my life. And, you know, Carl and John, y'all guys just – you started – I'm going to use this word, and back when I offered to write the foreword to the last 2004 program guide, and I even sent John and Carl a small snippet of this, of what I was shooting for, if they would let me write it, because I'd been to all of them but one at that time, and it all summed up like this: they started a legend, and that is just as true today as it is anything else.
Well, I agree. Stunning. Don, thanks. I mean, I appreciate that. It's, you know, I still think anybody could have done it at some point. I've really sitting here thinking about, you know, what Tobias said, coming from a long ways away. And I'm certainly glad that you have come over, and I really enjoy that perspective, because I think, you know, not going to get into it too much, but in this age of negativity of a lot of different things, people sometimes lose sight of that. You know, they get caught up in the anger of the moment of certain things, and they lose sight of, you know, what it is. You know, sometimes it's tough to get there. Sometimes there's stuff that happens. You know, once you get there, you know,
it's all forgotten.
We tried to, Yeah, we try to have it be as good a thing as we can. You know, sure, we would love to have, you know, 40 staff members to be able to not have the lines be long. Sure, we would love to have 10 credit card machines so that we won't have to wait as long to get toys. Sure, we would love for that to happen. It's not financially possible. So they do the best with what they can. You know, and I love, excuse me, love Tobias's observation of, you know, there were lines, but he got to meet people. You know, it is at the first convention that he went to. You know, I think that's great. You know, the social aspect of it, you know, is as important, you know, because once the dealer room closes, you know, you can hang out with people. I mean, there's friendly people all over the place. You know, you can just hang out. I mean, you could probably, if you took some things, you could probably stay up for 72 hours and enjoy yourself the entire time if you wanted to.
You know, that's
to talk to whoever.
You were just talking about caffeine and stuff like that, right? I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, anyone that's been to BotCon knows that the words bed and time just is not. Because it doesn't happen because you find yourself going to the room to room trading or just hanging out in the lobby and sitting and talking, and you look at your phone or look at your watch and it's 3 a.m. and the con reopens in like 4 hours and you're like, oh, we need to get some sleep. I'm not even sleepy. You just totally lose track of time. I mean, it does.
Yeah, it's adrenaline. Sleep. It's the excitement. You just and we talked about this on our BotCon preparation guide. You have to sleep, you have to eat, you have to pace yourself. Otherwise, come Sunday, you will be You will be a nervous, miserable wreck if you try pushing yourself without pacing.
Absolutely. But another thing I was thinking about going back to my first BotCon. Being in the panels and the dealer's room and everything else, I just went outside to get some air and some sun. And there was, like, I think it was Flint. What's his name?
Flint Dilly.
And I think it was Greg Berger and someone else just sitting there and talking to fans. And I was sitting down and they were welcoming and I was listening to great stories. They also told great stories on the panels, obviously. But just going around there, you can meet people. Like I met Morgan Lofting out there and Neil Ross at some point. And it's mind-blowing. And like I said before, I can't really express it enough to people to understand this who hasn't been there. And that Hall of Fame they had that year, Michael Bay came and so some other actors from, so it was just great. We would have got to see like 60 minutes of Dark of the Moon before it was released. So it was mind-blowing. That's why I went back to BotCon that year, 2014, and I'm still going back to BotCon, maybe next year. And Brett, you said, it was Duran, you said that people thought you were crazy going to BotCon just for Transformer collectors. Imagine coming from Sweden and telling your co-workers, where are you going? I'm going to Los Angeles. Oh, what are you doing? Are you going to see Hollywood? Oh, I'm mainly going for BotCon. It's a big convention for Transformer collectors. What?
One thing you had mentioned about your first time and how overwhelmed you were, and it got me to thinking about 2000, my first convention, and then I look at like last year, and I think 2000. There weren't as many people there in 2000 as there was last year. So obviously there was less people, which means, you know, less crowds. And I still remember in 2000, and it's probably because I was overwhelmed. I think I did less in 2000 activity wise, running around and everything, than I did last year.
even though there was more people and quote unquote more lines this and the other, there was that much more to do. And I guess the shock kind of wore it off too. But I never really had a problem with the standing in line so much, because there was always something. You know, I mean, you hurried up and went through this, and you got your autograph. You hurried up and went and sat down, and you did your panels. We got to go do this. You got to go do that. So I agree that they have been able to provide a variety of things for you to do. You can stay in the dealer room all day. You can go to the panels. You can go and do your autographs. If you don't want to stand in line, you can go do this, go do that. And I always thought that was neat. And I think it comes from humble beginnings. Even though, Carl, when you guys did it solo, you didn't have as much activities going on. You branched new ideas, and I still think you started the path to what we have now. Absolutely, in every aspect. It's just some things, blew up, like the cosplay, and all the different actors, the voice actors and the panels, all that blew up. So, but it still came, it all came from that show. It all did. And I just think that's, it's awesome. And I think that anyone that's ever been to a convention, I mean, you have to expect the lines. I don't look at the lines as being negative. I mean, sure, it'd be nice to go through every line in 5 seconds, but let's be realistic. You're not there by yourself.
Right. I mean, it's, every year that I've been working with Brian, I work the registration line, we've tried to do it different ways. There were years where we did just certain letters, a line for certain letters, and then eventually we went to the system we have now where anybody can come up and, find your package. We would love to have more people to do that. It's just, we tried to stagger the things out where certain groups of people come during this time. We do as much as we can, and Brian reevaluates things every year to try to see if we can streamline the process. And talking about the lines a little bit, we don't sit and not try to change things. I know Brian really does that. And I do want to say, I am not in the day-to-day aspect of the convention like Keith and Brian and Angie and all those folks are, Lanny, all those folks are. I come in on the week of the show and help them. I'll help a little bit with if Pete has a question or wants my thoughts on some of these questions, I'll tell him. He'll either take my opinion or he won't. That's fine. No problem with that. But we try to, for the folks listening, I know Brian, some people don't believe it. He does pay attention to what people say. Try to change things if stuff's not working as much as you can within the positive financial possibilities of things. Stuff works, some stuff doesn't. I know he's trying very hard, certainly. I wanted to ask you guys, because I know I have a definite answer for each of the four of you guys. What was your favorite show? And we'll go Brett first. And then looking at
put me on the spot.
I'll be mine last. How's that? I'll be mine. I have a tie.
I'm gonna go with 2004 and Pasadena, correct?
I get
my dates here, my years mixed up, but I know it was the last one. It's 2004. It's the year that they had the OTFCC and the BACON. I went to both, and I remember going, and it was my favorite, and it had my worst experience ever, but it was still my favorite. And what happened was is I went there, and I got to see Tony's collection, and it really was. I mean, and whether this was just a last minute thing, like you said, or whatever, it was It was impressive. It was really impressive. It actually put a focus on what I wanted, how I wanted my collection to be. Did I want to get one of everything? Because I'll be honest with you, when I saw it all, I went, I ain't got room for all that. So then I kind of narrowed my focus down. I'll be honest with you. Beforehand, I was like, I'm going to get one of everything. And I saw what one of everything entails. That's a lot. That's a whole lot.
And that was before the movies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. This was just basic. He did all the way up to G2, I thought. Did he have Machine Wars in there, too?
He had as far out as I think that had come at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it was, and once again, I mean, I had never seen the six Japanese headmasters and the white counterparts and all that, but there they were. I had never seen a Grand Max. There it was. Black Zarek, I mean, don't breathe on it, but there it was. I mean, all these things that I had heard of, there they were. So, yes, it. That's the year that a guy came up and asked if I'd buy Transformers, and sure. And I left the dealer room and went down to the parking lot and picked up a box of Transformers, which also had a vintage Japanese powered convoy, which I picked up. And that was one of my first Japanese items, so that got me kicking because how rare it was. And, you know, of course, back then, I got it dirt cheap. So, once again, people that don't think that these deals happen, they do. So I remembered all this. So that's why it's my favorite convention. It was also the convention that I got bumped and I got stuck at the airport overnight. And but had nothing to do with BotCon. That 2004 would have been my best convention. I had, I met people, like I said, people from California who I was friends with. I got to meet with them and just people and had the best experience. And the show overall was just, it's still to this day one I remember as the best. Who do you want next?
We'll go right down the line. Mr. Weird Wolf.
Well, I wish I had attended one of the earlier BotCons, but there's two that really come to my mind. First one, for a completely different reason, more from a collector standpoint and a general fan standpoint, and that would be the one in 2006, I believe, in Lexington. Not only because I lived at the time 20 miles away and I was able to sleep in my own bed every night, but just the experience that I had as a fan, because that was the first year I really didn't have to spend any money on travel expenses. And so I had more money to spend in the dealer room. And then I think the most amazing time I had at that show was a combination of the casino night when my wife at the time, she won a bagged set of the 2005 set, which, you know, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's not one of the more popular sets, but hey, won a free free bag set of the toys, you know. But I think the dinner absolutely blew me away that year, because it was, you know, kind of like first come, first serve seating. So we went in and got her food and I sat down and my wife sat down and then the one other fellow that was in line behind us, he sat down and we were sitting there talking and three people came up and asked if the rest of the seats were available, and we're like, sure. And those three people were Blue Man Kuma, Pauline Newsom, and Simon Furman. and just to sit and have dinner with those people was an absolute joy. I mean, we probably talked an hour or more just on a one-on-one over a meal. And that was I look back on that moment and it almost brings tears to my eyes because it was so, I had so much joy at that time. And then BotCon 2010 in Orlando, where I met many of the people that have helped make this podcast come to be. Some people aren't on the show anymore, like Guard Convoy and Mariah Baby. She's still in and out, but she's been around. Natsume Ryu. I've met many people at the 2010 show. And then I also got a friend in Paul Eiting because he was there for me at a difficult time in my life, and to have a voice actor from the cartoon that I loved so much as a child show concern to me in a personal time of difficulty. Because of a short story that I shared with him at BotCon 2010. And we talked briefly again after we had our little interaction in the autograph line. He saw me later on out in the hallway, and we stood and talked. And he's just absolutely an amazing man, Paul Eiting. And I still talk with him from time to time. And the fact that he knows my name and he can spot me in a room, it's just touching to me. And it's an amazing feeling as a fan. Those two experiences, I can never trade for anything. And I have BotCon to thank for that. And so I would say it's probably a tie between BotCon 06 and 2010.
Those are great, great stories. Fantastic. Bias.
Well, since I only been to two BotCons, I have to say 2014, and that's because I met up with Don and Brett there. And,
yeah, that's right. You know yeah. it.
Oh, wait. Because my first BotCon, it was like I said, overwhelming, and it was really, really great. But I didn't really know any people. I talked to a lot of people, but this was different. I could engage in more conversation with other fans and so on. So I had to say 2014. Really great.
There you go. Don?
This is going to take a while.
Just one. One.
Your mic is muted, Don.
Once again, he's saying, Brett is the best guy ever. Yeah. I love him so much.
His favorite one is the one that they announced the RC.
Probably.
Still can't hear you, Don.
Don!
He does this. He'll figure it out.
Take a sledgehammer to it, Don. Still can't hear you.
I'm telling you, he's right there with Tobias. It's the year he met me. I'm telling you. That's it.
Well, while he's figuring that out real quick, Carl, a quick question. It's easy to say that the internet has been both a blessing and a curse to BotCon, but back in the day, ATT played a huge part in communicating between fans. Can you say that the popularity of BotCon can be attributed a lot to online presence of fans, or how has the internet in general impacted BotCon since the beginning?
Well, you're dead on that it has been a blessing and a curse, obviously. But since the beginning, early on, I mean, we had a print ad in, it was either Lee's or Tomart's. It was either AFN or AFD. I don't remember which one it was. But I think the first It got mentioned on one of the ATT boards like a week before that first show. And that's why I think somebody had ended up missing a show because they missed it by a week. But early on, I mean, during the early days of BotCon, I was, and that's when I was in college, and I was not doing, you know, my degree path was a little strenuous. So I was not able to spend as much time online as I probably should have been. Looking at that stuff. But I think, you know, we were able to, you know, do some things online and work out a little bit. Obviously, you know, maybe later on we had, you know, some of the exclusives that ended up leaking, you know, some, you know, during, you know, when we were with Glenn, I forget what the exclusives did end up leaking, but there were a couple that ended up leaking like a week before the show. I've never figured out how that happened. You know, sometimes word of mouth is good with that stuff, sometimes it's not. Obviously, the internet can be good, can be bad, you know, and.
Well, I mean, the popularity of the convention, I mean, like you say, you started out, you know, in print, and then I guess through internet message boards. I mean, it really helped spread the word about the BotCon. I mean, that's how I found out about it.
Yeah, and it, you know, and we had to keep building our list of, you know, names and addresses. You know, that my brother kept, and, you know, and then Glenn kept one, and, you know, over the years, we just had to keep adding to it. We sent out flyers to those people or sent them emails or whatever. Excuse me. And, you know, we just had to keep doing it the old-fashioned way like that until things, you know, started, you know, going the way they were with the internet.
I believe Don's got his mic working again.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna invoke old man privileges here since Brett keeps bringing that up every chance he gets.
Thank you for agreeing with me.
Nah, don't get used to it. I think my favorite show is going to be 94 because that was such a defining moment in my time as a Transformer collector. As seeing what was out there beyond the scope that I know, meeting John and Carl, people that I've been friends with since then, I think in terms of importance, 94, there's no contest. There's no contest. As far as exclusives, you were right. I'm going to go with Durham 2001, Tigertron and RC. Perfect set of exclusives. Great use of the Black Arachnid Transmetal 2 mold.
No bias.
Getting the Ravage Ek-9 mold was brilliant. Dan's work on the box art made it beautiful. Just, I cannot think of a pair of exclusives. As good as they all were, those two just is just an absolute fundamental pair of exclusives that everyone should own if they have a collection. I'm going to say past 2005 when Funpub got the license, my favorite box set was the G2 box set. You really can't compare before and after 2005 because the structures are so different on the exclusives. But that's my favorite exclusives was the G2 box set from a few years ago. But, yeah, that's my favorite. I mean, you know, I've met so many people, met so many great voice actors, Mike McConaughey, Sue Blue, of course, just so many great memories. I've got Polaroids still from 94. I took my dad's Instamatic camera and had to buy Polaroid film for it, and I still have some Polaroids from 94. One of them is the GoBot racing rig. So that's my history. That's me and BotCon.
Well, I wanted to add something real quick. Because when he said it, I had to go find it. Even though my first convention was 2000, here is the actual ad that was in the magazine.
Yeah.
for 97. I couldn't find the older ones, and it was Lee's Action Figure News. Yeah. And there's the actual flyer, and it says down at the bottom, courtesy of John Hartman, and it has everything on here. And this is how, believe it or not, before the internet, this is how you got your ideas. This is how you figured out where you were going. And what it looked like was this. Classifieds.
Wow.
Shows coming out. And it would say down here, BotCon. And it was one of these that I saw in one of these magazines that got me going.
Oh, that takes me back. Yeah. Oh, that takes me back.
I have clippings. I actually have clippings and, I mean, pictures and everything from past events. But I did find that one. It's 97, but that's the actual flyer they used in Lee's Action Figure News.
Carl, I know you don't want to go into all the details, but after 96, if y'all hadn't done what you did for 97, we wouldn't even be having this discussion about BotCon, I don't think. And 97, well, I know 97 was a huge investment for y'all.
And it's funny because guess what? I've got 97 also. But that's side the point. Go ahead.
That was a point. Before I get into, you know, my favorite conventions, 97 ended up unfortunately becoming a competition because, you know, it ended up being, all right, Hasbro was going to have to make a choice between two shows or two sets of organizers. And, you know, 3H1, but, you know, my brother was still paying that one back 7 years later. It was a story for the book, sure, but that was a tough time, you know. No matter the cost was right, I'll tell you that. For my favorite conventions, they're not necessarily conventions as a whole, but moments. And I have three, I would say. Three of my favorite moments.
Other than meeting me, go ahead.
Right. I could add a fourth one, but I don't know if I want to talk about that. But the three big ones, probably at the top of my list. Well, they're at the top of my list for different reasons. When the first movie came out, that was 2007. Is that right? Correct. And that was in Rhode Island, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Being able to see the first live-action movie in gigantic theaters with fans before the movie came out, just hearing like 1,000 or 1,200 Transformers fans go absolutely batshit crazy when Blackout transformed for the first time
on screen.
And it was just like, hell, this is something we're never gonna that shock of that is never going to be replicated again. I mean, it was an unbelievable moment. And at people, you know, cheering during all the racing scenes and, you know, just laughing during things. I mean, just it was such a great moment. I caught myself just kind of looking around and watching the people enjoy the movie. I'm like, this is fantastic. It doesn't get much better than that. It just doesn't. You know, as a fan of the franchise, it just doesn't get any better than that. For two of these, I'll say I wish my brother could have been there to see it. You know, I wish he could have been there to be in that theater that night with, you know, 1,200 of our closest friends to watch that. And there was another one, I think it was a couple of years later. We did the Paramount Becklot experience, whatever. We, you know, there was like a concert, and there was something we got to walk around, and it was just and the night was, you know, this sounds a little cliche, but the night was cool, and, you know, we got on the bus, we went there, and there was, like, the hologram of the Autobot logo and the hologram of, you know, the Botcon name and Transformers and all that stuff on there. I'm like, God, that is cool. It just struck me as really, really neat. And, you know, we just got to, you know, hang out with, you know, just a lot of people and, you know, have dinner and have some food around. And it was just one of those nights hanging out that I just, you know, at the convention, you know, we're up late, but one of those few nights that, you know, you just didn't want to end. That was another one that I wish my brother would have been there to see, because I think he would have, appreciated it. And the last one is was 2004. I'll see how much I can talk about this. The last panel of 2004. It's still hard to talk about, you know, because putting together the video with the music going over it. Because we didn't know what the future was going to be at that point. We had no idea where the convention was going to go. We had no idea, hadn't met Brian, even though he was at that show, he was at OTFCC. He was not a BotCon. He was at OTFCC. We found that out later. We had no idea where the future was going to be after 2004. So it was a tough time emotionally, certainly. And, spending that show with, friends that took the chance and came out with us, I thought that was, it may not have been the best show in terms of guests or exclusives or whatever. It was one of my favorites, certainly. And it's tough to watch that, because I still have the DVD of the credits thing that we rolled at the end of that. And it's tough to watch. Play that, 11 years later. But that's probably it for me.
There is one thing I wanted to ask you, and I haven't thrown this at Pete. I haven't made this a suggestion, but what do you think the odds are of doing what you guys did in the brochures when you would get every, at the convention, and it would list the names and how many conventions you've gone to in the back? Because I thought that was really neat.
We'd have to talk to, certainly we'd have to talk to Brian about that, because he keeps all those records, I'm sure.
But I thought that was a neat thing you guys did. I really did.
Yeah. I mean, it was because my brother, there's one, my brother and I both like to make lists of things. I'll just make a list of lists, whatever. Just random things. And he likes to do lists, and that was just one of the things that he could do. He could pull up easily to, these people have been to this number show, these people have been to this number. Obviously, now the number of different people that have been to BotCon, 10,000, 15,000, I don't know. I mean, it's so many different people under the show.
Right. I mean, you would have to narrow it down some, but I can tell you it's once again, it's kind of geeky or whatever when you open it up and go, there's my name. It's right here. It's right here.
Hey, I was on the brochure one year.
I was there, It's just kind of funny, but I always thought that was neat.
Go ahead. I was just going to say another moment that came to mind for me, and this kind of, how you're saying that since you've been a volunteer with the current version of BotCon and you've tried different ways of doing the registration lines and everything whenever you go to pick up the packages and stuff. I believe it was the one in Orlando where it was separated by last name. I was in the L's, and that line was several hours long. And the lady that was doing it was, she was super nice and everything, but know, she's not getting us through there rather quickly. And who should come to save the day was you.
Right.
You came up, and I saw you walk up, and I had never met you before. But I had heard all the wonderful things, like the stories that Don has just said and everything. And I'm like, that's Carl Hartman. I'm going to get to meet Carl Hartman. I was just so excited over that moment. And when you handed me a set, you're like, here, you're just doing it really quick, you know. But it was just a moment for me because I got to meet you for the first time. And I know it was kind of geeky to admit that, but that was a moment for me. It was.
That's funny. I appreciate that. But, you know, I will say, you know, to the people that are listening, you know, some people, you know, love all the staff. They're all fantastic. I know you guys want to get your stuff. I want to get the stuff to you guys. I don't chit-chat a ton. I'm like, hi, nice to meet you. Yes, gotcha. Okay, here's your ID. Here's your okay, here's your stuff. Check it out. There you go. Have a good time. You know, I try to get everybody out of there as fast as I can. You know, that's my job, to try to get you, my people, out of there as fast as they can. But I'm glad that was a moment for you. You know, that's fun. And I, you know, I feel bad for, you know, if you thought I was too fast or rude.
I was just geeking out because I recognized you from pictures and knowing that you were one of the co-founders of BotCon, and here I am at BotCon and I'm getting to meet you, you know, and even if it was just for a couple seconds to grab my box set of toys and my badge, I was beside myself. And I know it's geeky to say that, but for me it was a moment. You know, I mean, yeah. I know we all put our pants on one leg at a time, but there's people that you just don't see or meet every day, and you were one of the people on my bucket list of people that I would love to meet that were important to this franchise. And you know, regardless of whether or not, you know, you consider yourself a celebrity in the fandom, you are, you know, and to me, I found it a great honor to have met you that day. That was the first time I had met you. And, you know, I have to say it was a moment for me personally.
Well, I appreciate that. And I hope, you know, because you guys all know that my brother's coming to this show in St. Charles. The first time he's been to one since 2006 Lexington, and I hope that he gets some of those stories as well, because you know he was the one that put the name to the show. He's the one that came up with BotCon as the name, and he has taken a lot of, you know, back when we were doing it, he took a lot of personal financial risk to do what he's doing. You know, he had two full-time jobs, and then also dealt with all the registration stuff.
Wow.
So he was, you know, he had a lot of personal, you know, made a lot of personal sacrifices for the show in the early years, you know, in 94, and then we were doing it in 97 to 2002, and then again in 2004. Made a lot of personal sacrifices for that. So I hope, you know, I see folks every year, and that's great. I never take that for granted, ever. But I hope a lot of people out there, you know, can talk to my brother. Because you never know when the last show you're going to go to is. You never right. know when that's going to be or where it's going to be.
Well, you never know what. I don't think he's going to have any problems. I think he's going to be met with, you know, open arms, just because he's just as, you know, important as you are in getting us to where we're at now. And I mean, you're going to have a lot of people they're going to want to say hi to him. I'm absolutely sure.
I count me in with that, because along with Carl, he's one of them. That's again on my bucket list of people to meet. And I do plan on stopping by your table to meet both of you again.
Oh. Sure, absolutely.
And of course, I'll be there just to say, like, hey, John. Oh, God, it's him again.
Exactly.
It's like, well, he thought you got rid of me. Well, you were wrong.
Well, looks like Bryce decided to to stop in. How are you doing today?
No, Mike.
Oh, you have the Don syndrome.
He's Canadian. He's excused.
Yeah, well, while we're waiting for Bryce, I just want to thank you all. I have to go to bed. It's a really early morning here in Sweden. And
it's like 4 a.m. for you, isn't it?
Yes.
It is 5 a.m.
Oh, wow. Wow.
But this was great fun talking to you guys. And Carl, thanks a lot. It was great meeting you and hearing all the stories.
Certainly. Thank you, Tobias. Well,
I hope to see you on a future BotCon. Yes.
See you, Tobias.
Take care, Tobias.
Take care, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bryce, did you figure that problem out?
Nope.
I thought I was the one with the technical problems.
No, you just have problems.
I'm not doubting that, I have expensive problems, but that's beside the point.
We're experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by.
Canada is being a pain in the butt.
I bet it's just too cold up there. Eh?
I bet his cursor on his computer screen is a little maple leaf. You know.
Come on, get it going. You can do this. Let's see here.
Either that, it's a little maple leaf or a hockey puck. You know. So, Carl, what was your? I know you was talking about some of the exclusives, but what is your absolute favorite exclusive out of every year, out of any year of BotCon? If you had to pick one toy that was your favorite exclusive, what would you say it would be?
Oh boy,
That's not an easy one.
I know it's a hard one, but
considering since 2005, I mean there have just been so many toys. I mean, I think since 2005, there's not been more toys than there were in the entire Generation 1 just for convention exclusives. I think that number is right. I don't know. I think the 2006 Megatron is really, really sharp. I think that's a really strong toy. And, there's no coincidence, I guess, that that's probably the most expensive, one of the more expensive ones on the secondary market.
Absolutely.
I think that's a great one.
It's just, you know, looking back, it's, you know, there's just, I mean, you know, is you know, Ape Link, the original Ape Link, the Transmetal Optimus Primal, it's beautiful. Cyclonus. Cyclonus is beautiful. I will never take him out of the box because there's no flaking right now. And I never want to touch the box again because I'm afraid to.
I wouldn't touch it because I've seen flaking in a sealed box. So,
yeah,
looks like a snow globe. But that's side of point.
Yeah, just I mean, but I still owe John a little bit of payback for that RC.
Yeah,
I have a little bit of payback for that because yours. It's an old man. I'm gonna tell a quick story. We're at the dinner, we're at the thing, and you're showing off the exclusives for the Durham convention, and you're standing up and talking, and John is sitting there handing you the stuff as you're, you know, the t-shirt, the hat, whatever the case was, and then after he hands you the Tigertron, and everybody's going gaga over the Tigertron, you're talking about getting that mold, your brother does this. Here's the table. He does this, and he's looking at me. I said, what? So he does this. I said, what is it? He says, I said, I can't hear you. He does this. I look, and my eyes are so bad, I can't tell. And then he just sits there and grins. For like 2 minutes, he just sits there and grins. And then he hands you RC from the Black Arachne transmittal mold. And I'm like, yes. And then you show off the RC, and we're all ecstatic. And then he tells me after the dinner that y'all knew 2 years that would be the exclusive for that year when the mold became available, and you couldn't tell me. I was like, damn. But it's a wonderful toy. I mean, I've got two of them. But it's just I owe him just a little bit of payback for that, because it's just he tasks me. forgive an old man going down memory lane.
You can't let that go.
Don, you can't let that one go now that the Generations one came out. I mean, come on. You can't let that go?
As a matter of fact, just to let everybody know, because I mentioned this a few episodes ago, I have found me a Legends RC, and I will be giving it to Sue Blue at BotCon. The Legends car version. And if she already has one, I will let her know that if she wants to autograph it and put it in the charity auction, that's fine with me. But I definitely want to give her the toy if she doesn't already have a version, say the Generations version. But all the people that gave me links and hints and stuff, thank you very much. I do appreciate it.
This work now?
Yes.
Yay!
Yay. I think it was just getting angry with having a mic on the headset.
There you go. So how are things up north?
Hot.
What?
I don't understand this crap. Those humidity and heat.
You don't know what to do without all that snow on the ground.
The snow, I have an excuse not to cut the lawn.
That's true. That's true.
I got shovel sidewalks, so I don't know.
Yeah, anyway. A moose probably fell asleep on the internet cable.
Moose. I was kind of curious because
it's caribou, damn it.
You've never been to a BotCon, but you've definitely been a collector. Are there any questions you would have for Carl in regards to BotCon? Any questions that you just didn't understand? I mean, anything in general.
Not really questions. Just thanks for starting it.
There you go.
Well, you're certainly welcome. Certainly welcome.
1 year I'll make it down there.
One of these days they'll grant you a visa to come across the border.
See, if I got one of those, I couldn't have gotten an imported wife if I didn't.
Yeah. You imported the wife. But here's the thing. See, they're going to have to change it to a colder season so that he'll come down to BotCon because it's just too hot down here.
It's not the heat, it's the humidity. 80 degrees is fine, but when it's 70% humidity, I don't think they have humidity in Canada. I think it stops at the border.
That does bring up a question that I have for you, Carl. Back whenever you guys were in charge of doing the convention, did you ever consider taking it to Canada or anywhere else other than right here in the United States?
Well, Glenn did do a show in Europe, BotCon 2002 in Europe. Never knew how many people. It didn't seem like it was that well attended. But I think that was a one-time only thing. As far as, I don't think we ever, obviously nothing wrong with Canada, but I don't think we ever considered doing a show there because of some, logistical difficulties that maybe they would require us to happen going up there. But I don't think we ever really seriously discussed up there.
What would you say is your, of all the locations that you did yourself, what was your favorite location to do?
Oh, I have a real sweet spot for Pasadena. People don't like to go out to Pasadena every other 2 years or 3 years or whatever. I think the facility's great. I think the weather's great. That's why when we went out there in 2004, doing a site visit, we went out there, I think, in the summer of 2003 to check out the location. Those of you that were at the 2004 show, the location was very different than it is now. It was very, very different. You would go in the big the theater type thing, but you go downstairs and then this long hallway to the convention center or like the other wing. Very different than it was now. But, you know, just the area across the street from the convention center was just, we thought it was great with all out, you know, all the shops and everything. I just thought it was just a beautiful location for it. I enjoy it every time I go back out there. I know some people don't like that it's out there all the time. You know, it seems like on movie years, but that's my favorite location.
I loved going out to Pasadena whenever I went in 2011, I believe it was. I loved going out there. I went to a Dodger game. I'm a huge baseball fan, so I went to a Dodger game a couple days before and went to Hollywood, walked the Hollywood Walk of Fame, got my picture taken for the Hollywood sign, all the touristy things. It's a great place to visit, but my only complaint about it is it was so expensive out there. And, you know, being an East Coaster, it's just not logistically and financially feasible for me to go to California on a regular basis. And that's the only reason whenever they say it's in California, I'm like, well, not going, you know, can't, you know. Yeah. And it just happened that year I was able to go. And I'm like, you know, this is the first time that I've been able to afford it, and I'm not going to miss this. It's BotCon. It's California. I'm not going to miss this. But it's not a regular thing that I'm able to go when it's out there.
I was just going to say, Carl, you actually let me down. Because I thought for sure you were going to say Fort Wayne. I really did. To me, even though it wasn't my favorite convention, the times I've gone to Fort Wayne, I loved it.
Yeah.
I liked it. It's a nice town.
That's what I was going to say. But mine was more motivated by that little restaurant three blocks down that serves all of Fort Wayne 11 at a time. They have awesome food, though.
I'm just throwing this out there because I just not remembered it. There was a restaurant called Fire and Ice. Does anyone remember that? Was that, if anyone remembers, was that Chicago? Do you remember that, Carl? It was right down the street from the convention. I wish I could remember it, but it was you made your own salad. And it was like you could throw anything on this bowl for like $8. And you had like hot wings, you know, chicken strips. And if you could fit it on that bowl, it was like $8. It was a neat idea. And they made your own drinks.
Leave it to Brett to find the only place that would toss a salad.
Well, heck yeah, but it's free. Or it's cheap, I mean. But I could have sworn it was Chicago, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But I know I really, really thought you were going to say Fort Wayne. I really did. That was a neat area.
Yeah, I miss the days when we could go to a smaller city like that. It's just too small now. It'll never work
again. Isn't there I don't think it's just one exclusive. I think there's a few exclusives that the license plate of the car says BCFW94, I believe.
And that might have been the GT breakdown, maybe. I mean, I don't remember. Pete would know that better than I would, but it might be the Generation 2 box set, the breakdown from that. It might have something like that on it. And for the record, that toy was not my idea. Pete came up with that. I'm like, all right, I don't want people to think that's self-serving or whatever, but I did not come up with that idea.
I do remember them getting the information upside down on the sign, Carl.
Yeah, that was pretty embarrassing. Yeah, there's the placard that was outside of the Grand Wayne Center. Yeah. We thought it was awesome that it was on the placard, and there's the original 94 show, and you know, we had the Autobot logo and Decepticon logo with the slash in between, and they just put it upside down. They worked it upside down.
Well, I was just corrected. It was Rhode Island. It was 07 Rhode Island, down the street from the convention was a big restaurant called Fire and Ice. That's where it was. So I stand corrected, but it was still a neat place to go. So, we've gone a couple hours here. I don't want to monopolize too much of your time, Carl. Does anything anyone have anything final to ask Carl?
Before anybody asks, I got one other thing that I want to say before any of that. I'm happy to answer any other questions because I got nothing but time. I'm gonna pull this back to BotCon here in a second. Some of you know that I'm a teacher. I just finished my 14th year of teaching today, actually. And I'm friends on Facebook with a lot of my former students and their parents and everything. And I see Facebook updates from them, and one of my former students' parents, he graduated in 2009, I think. And I kept tabs with him. And on Facebook, his mom posted a picture of, a before and after picture. She, had just lost a lot of weight. She put on Facebook, really proud of myself for the last year. I've lost a lot of weight. Can't wait for the next year, whatever, see where I am with losing weight, with the next year. The next day, she was dead. She died of, we don't know. It might have been a heart attack. I don't know. But it just was really spooky to me how that happened. Now, I'm going to turn that back to BotCon in this. I don't want to get too preachy or whatever because I'm not good at any of that stuff. But I see, see stuff that happens like that. Somebody's talking one day and then the next day they're just dead. They're not with us anymore. I see all the negativity. I read it. I see it. It's been going on. People have been spouting about things. I'm not going to name names, but there are people that are spouting negativity. And it's just, life is just too short to be that negative all the time. It's it kills me. It kills me when I see that, when people are just talking about things they have no idea about. And Brian is too proud to talk about everything that goes into it. Everything, all the bad stuff that has happened, all the difficult things that have happened. He's too proud to talk about a lot of that stuff. But it is just, life is just too short. It's just too short to deal with that, to have that kind of anger all the time. I'm like, some people may not believe it, and that's fine. That Brian and Pete do the best that they can do. There are certain circumstances that they deal with that you would not understand, that he will not get into, and you may not believe it. But he does. And you just have to, I guess, you can trust me on that one.
But
agreed.
It's one thing to have a lot of frustration, and it's easy to know that it's easy to see that there's a lot of frustration out there, but you can be dissatisfied with something, but not be overly critical, and you can still enjoy and find something positive in everything. If you look at this fandom is notorious for being negative when they overly negative when they don't need to be. And overly critical about things that really don't amount to a damn hill of beans. But in the end, what really matters is our hobby. And with BotCon in particular, me, there's things that I've been frustrated about myself. I do not hide that fact. But does that mean that I don't like BotCon or anything? No. I mean, I've been many times. And as I've said tonight, I enjoy every time that I've been, and I am looking forward to this show. And to those people that have negativity and and spew nothing but negativity about this great show, get over it, in my opinion. Get over it. Look at what it is. Yes, you might be frustrated now, but whenever you get there to that show, are you still going to be frustrated? No, you're going to see these awesome toys
I wish I could afford a freaking Oil Master. I really do. I mean, that's, if I could have one toy out of that whole set, I want that Oil Master, but I'm broke as hell right now, so I'll be lucky if I get anything. But, you know, whenever you get to that convention, you get that set and everything, and you start talking to other fans, are you as fans, you know, and that's one of the things I want to bring out on this podcast. Are you as a fan going to sit there and still bitch, moan, and complain? Or are you going to enjoy your time, hang out with fellow collectors, enjoy the toys that we're there for, and let negativity kill it all? I seriously doubt it, because I haven't seen that at any BotCon I've been to. And that's my little soapbox I'm going to get off of. But I apologize for that. But
no, I agree. And Carl, you and I talked about this before, just because of the negativity, and I had the same, you know, I have the same outlook. It's just, it's too short, but even not that so much, the time you're there, I mean, it's only a few days, a year. When you get there, you're going to be so hyped up, wanting to do everything and meeting the people and getting involved. And I'm telling you, it's fun. It's nothing but positive. So yeah, you might have to hit the refresh button a few hundred times or whatever to get your registration in or whatever your quote unquote horror story is, but you did it. You're ready to go. And it's going to be a good show, and you're going to enjoy yourselves. I guarantee it. And everyone here knows, and everyone that's been knows, every year you go, it's fun. It's always something new. You're always going to be there for a specific reason, but whether it be to get the exclusives, sell a collection, meet the guests, or meet your friends, or all of them. You're going to get to do that.
Well, I mean, and I use myself as an example. Like I said earlier in the show, my very first Transformer convention was OTSCC 04. And one of the main issues with that convention is we all showed up, and it was an hour and a half before they opened up the freaking doors. And then we get in there and find out of the two exclusives that we were promised, one of them was at the show and the other one was mailed to us by Hasbro however long later. But that didn't stop me from having a damn good time. And was I thinking about all that crap when I was there? Yeah. I mean, yeah, I was a little bit disappointed whenever I walked in the door that, Sentinel Prime? Yeah. Sentinel Maximus. Yes. I was disappointed that he wasn't there, especially I had two of them all, ordered. But then I'm like, well, they promised that they're going to be there or that we're going to get them. I just went on and I enjoyed the show. Met Michael McConaughey, rode an elevator with Dan Gilvezan. I came back to BotCon the next year, the real BotCon. And, you know, and I've been going as often as I can ever since. Don't let negativity spoil your enjoyment of something awesome.
Well, exactly. And the other thing is that don't let your negativity stop you from interacting.
Amen.
Because when I gave my story about 2004, and yeah, it was nice getting a nice Japanese exclusive toy, and that was neat. But things you remember was what I got to see, the people I got to meet. And I wouldn't have met these people had I went out of my way and actually opened my mouth and talked to these people in person and interacted. And if I had come across completely negative, I don't think I'd have the same friends or the same amount of friends that I do now. So, you know, it's behind you. It's behind you. So, absolutely, it's all positive from here. It really is.
And on top of that, and I don't mean to keep cutting in here, but on top of that, there are other conventions out there, but there's only one official convention, and that's BotCon. And we have this man right here that's on with us tonight, and his brother, their hard work and their labor and their dedication that started this show, and it's still here 22 years later. That should say something, you know, and we keep going back. Why? Because it's BotCon. There was a person I was talking to today. I asked him, I said, you've been outspoken about some of these things. Why are you still going? If you don't like it so much, why are you still going? The reason why, said it's, all the problems notwithstanding, BotCon is the number one convention for the focused interest that I have, and that is Transformers. And you can't argue that.
That's right. And let us not forget, BotCon's ran around for 22 years, which just goes to seal the fact that Don is old. Okay, that seals it.
But this old man got toys at prices you will never touch.
There you go. See? He's old.
Boom, right. Shakalaka.
So,
You get a Lyokaiser gift set for $75. We'll talk.
I hate you.
I got paid $235 to take mine. How about that?
Still doesn't beat $75, but still.
Don, does your Kill Bison crumble?
They've been in Lyokaiser mode for several years. I'm afraid to fight.
That's out. When you don't touch him. But
no, Brett, I got paid $235 to take it.
I didn't pay really? Any money. Oh yeah, it's that Canadian, but that's fake money. That's not real, that's Monopoly money. It doesn't count.
It was dealt in US dollars.
All right. Does anyone have anything else for Carl tonight?
Carl, real quick, with the collection that you're bringing, you and John are going to be bringing.
Yes.
What are some of the pieces that we can expect to see that will knock our socks off?
Yeah. What are the highlights? Give us something to wet our whistle.
Just to give everybody something to look forward to.
Well, you know, I posted a little bit on a thread on TFW. It's not going to be like the high dollar stuff like we had in 2006. I mean, we've got a couple things. We've got some of the 2006 BotCon toys. There's a couple things. I don't know. There's really not a ton. I mean, there's a lot of the retail stuff. And I will say this, you know, Brett, being a fellow vendor, you may not like this. A lot of the stuff that we will be bringing will be very, very close to original retail cost because we know that some of it's just not worth much more than that. So we're looking to sell it as much and as fast as we can. We really don't want to leave St. Charles with anything.
Well, so, do you have one standout piece? I mean, just one standout piece.
I mean, we got the 2006 Megatron. We have some boards of some unreleased 1991 stuff that a couple people are very interested in. We have
Micromaster Transport Base.
What's that?
Micromaster Transport Base.
We have like extra weapons. It's not that base, but it's like some additional weapons that were going to be added to some recolored, recolored patrol. They're just some extra weapons. Just some interesting stuff. But 1997, we had a ton of product boards or concept boards that were never released. We never saw them after that show, so we never know what happened to them. We got some of those. We got some of the not the Robot Masters. I don't know what they're called. They're the two packs, the little cartoony figures. There are some of them that were unreleased.
Heroes of Cybertron, or
no, there were Robot Heroes. Robot Heroes. There are some of those that we have that were never ended up being released. Got those sealed in package. There's the Human Alliance Soundwave that we were able to get. That's, I know it was released in Japan. It's all in the American package. There's a lot of the retail stuff. I know some of that stuff has gone up in value, but we've got most everything from 1998 to 2006. I would imagine we may keep the very last one, you know, the end of the collection, I guess, because that's when we stop collection. The Galaxy Force Optimus Prime from Cybertron was the last official toy of the collection.
So in other words, when the doors open, everybody stand back and just every man for himself.
I mean, we're not gonna do that. Yeah, I don't want to talk too much about it, but I'll be self-serving with it. But you know, we're not gonna do it like we did in 2006, where you know we only let a certain number of people come in at a time. It's just gonna be like, yeah, whatever.
Well, that made the most sense. That made the most sense. Otherwise, you would have been swamped.
Yeah, with that kind of stuff, boxes of the sealed carded guys. Yeah, that was, we had to do something to make it different. I mean, we got our four booths worth, and we'll do what we can. You know, I'll be in the booth from. I got to have Brian on Thursday and Friday morning some, but then I'll be in the booth for about 10:30 on Friday, helping set up, and then.
I've got a question, but before I ask it, I'm going to go ahead and do our sponsor plug here. Check out our sponsors, CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. CapturedPrey.com, now with free shipping of on orders of $150 or more. And also check out Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com. Seen at all the big toy conventions year round, and they'll be at BotCon this year. But Carl, talking about your collection real quick, and you said you collected up until 2006. You and your brother collected as a pair, more or less. You pooled your collection, correct? What was the ultimate decision that you that made you guys say we're done? I mean, because we've talked about that on the show before. You know, when do we call it quits? When do we get out? You know, what ultimately led to you guys saying, you know, we need to just stop?
It was a couple of things. One, you know, I was in a bit of debt at the time, and I was getting married. I wanted to, you know, wanted to try to alleviate some of that debt. And two, with the movie coming out just around the corner, we weren't dumb. We knew that there was going to be a whole ton of products coming out with that movie. And we just thought that this was a good time. It's just a good time to be, you know, be done with it. And, you know, that was going to be the fourth moment of one of my favorite moments. You know, the collection served us well. You know, and it led us to do some things. You know, we wrote, you know, it helped, you know, spawn BotCon. You know, we wrote articles for Elite's Action Figures. You know, we did the Tome Arts price guide. You know, and it was time for it to, you know, to separate. You know, it had given us, you know, joy for the time that we had it. It was time to, you know, let others experience that kind of joy from that stuff. You know, however people take that, you know, as collectors, you know, they get some good stuff, they get joy that way. Or, you know, I know there was a guy that bought a ton of the carded toys, and as soon as he got home, he was going to open them all up, and he did. And, you know, that's how he got his joy from it, and that's fine. You know, we never AFA graded any of that stuff. You know, it was around at the time, you know. We could have gotten a lot more money from it had we done the AFA thing, but it's just like
it's easy to say that you guys had a legendary collection. I've heard of some of the things that you guys had, and I'm like, wow. I mean, I'm just amazed at some of the things that didn't you guys post pictures of it once or a picture of some of it?
There have been pictures of some of it. Yeah, it was. Not the prettiest display in the world, but our carded stuff was on low on racks like they were in the stores. There'd be a rack of, you know, mini cards, maybe four. You know, there'd be a rack of aerial bots and Stenicon Detective bots from 86. There'd be a rack of all the carded pretenders. You know, just a rack of everything like that. So it was kind of interesting.
Touch up with a previous episode or two that we've done on this show, talking about you know, finishing our collections, and coming from someone who had such an amazing, impressive, important collection in this fandom, and calling it quits.
what would be your number one bit of advice to people who consider either scaling down or getting out altogether? What would you like to tell somebody that you learned from ending your collection?
If you feel at any point like it's starting to control you, you gotta stop. I mean, you can't let that be the only thing that you do. You gotta live your life. I mean, and if it gets too big, you know, with Star Wars being, you know, our first kind of collecting focus, I still kind of try to keep track or keep tabs of some of that stuff. The big thing in Star Wars collectors is focuses. You know, they focus on one collector, they focus on like one series, or they focus on one character. I think that would be a great way to go. Like some people may just have, I don't know, like a Swindle collection, or like, you know, different variations of him, or different variations of, I don't know, Cheetor or something. You know, get all the different variations, you know, all pre-production stuff. Some people do that stuff if you have one character that you like. But you can't let it be, you can't let that thing control you. I mean, you just can't. Just if you can be honest with yourself and say, okay, this may be a little bit of a concern for me, but you got to have the strength and say, all right, I need to step back from that.
Right. Well, that's a tough thing. I am kind of curious. If you could get back one item, what would it be? It's a tough one.
I don't know. Because we still have the wind charger. We still have our first wind charger. And that guy's never going anywhere. That'll stay.
I still have my first.
Yeah. Pete Sinclair still has his first sideswipe. You know, we still have our first original Darth Vader figure from when we started collecting Star Wars. So that's, we still have that. We never let that guy go. God, what would it be? You know, I don't even know. I couldn't tell. It would definitely be Wind Charger if we let Wind Charger go. But I don't even know. It would have something that would have some sentimental value. I mean, a lot of our stuff did have sentimental value. But you know, I don't know. It would have been the Wind Charger, certainly.
Gotcha.
I have a couple more quick fire questions, and I'll be done with my questions. Number one, even though you officially quit in 2006, have you picked up any more Transformers at all since then?
Oh, sure. There have been some. I like all the Combiner Wars stuff. I like when they do the new versions of the old characters. I think that stuff's all great. I think they're doing some great work with that. I really do. Yeah. So yeah, it's not like it's just different now. It's not like
you're not out to get now, everything.
Right. I can just, you know, whatever I want to get, or if I get anything. Right.
My other question was, what is your absolute favorite Transformer?
I mean, I like Bruticus just because I think he's cool. I mean, and I like Abominus because he's so dumb. But I don't know. I just thought they look cool. And just as a Don, what is that? I don't even know what that is.
That's the Warbitron Bruticus.
Oh,
the Warbitron version.
Yeah,
unfortunately, Don and I are big Bruticus fans. You hit home right there.
Yeah, no. I mean, I thought I think it's great, and I think I like those two characters. I guess just because, for no other reason, that they never did American gift sets for it. And those were always the holy grail.
I'm right there with Abominus. I think Abominus is probably, in my opinion, arguably the best G1 combiner. Because, I mean, he was poseable for a G1 combiner. I mean, he had leg articulation when most Transformers barely had elbow or arm articulation, you know. So he was just flipping cool. He's a bunch of monsters all...
Well,
you can't deny that a nose monster was not cool.
Well, while I'm sure Don and I could argue for hours on that, we're going to save that for another show. I did want to do this real quick. I'm going to screenshot this, of course. Upcoming show, BotCon is going to be June 18th to the 21st in St. Charles, Illinois. And I think this guy over here is going to be there along with yours truly. So make sure you stop by.
And I will be there as well. I'll be helping out at the Captured Prey booth, and I'll also be walking around from time to time and checking things out. So, you know, we're going to be also having some big giveaways coming up here on TFYLP. So keep tuning in. We got some great stuff that we'll be giving away soon. So that's I'm just going to leave it at that. You know, and it just keeps coming. You know, so. But BotCon is going to be awesome.
Yes. So we ran long tonight. Apologize for that, but we had a lot of information, a lot of good stuff, a lot of history, and I hope everyone learned a lot. I know I did about our favorite convention and the backstory and how it came to be. And I think we're going to close it off at here. Don, you got anything to add?
No, just been a pleasure talking to you again, Carl, in a lot more relaxed setting than usually, considering you're it's a bit busy. Can't wait to see John, and hope everyone enjoyed the trip down memory lane. I know I did.
Yeah, and unfortunately, our lane's not as long as yours.
You can call it that, but see, in terms of, like, awesomeness, I'm like the Golden Road. I got a $50,000 RV at the end of my memory lane.
The only problem with that is you don't remember where you parked it. So, Bryce, you got anything?
No, that was a good one, though. That was pretty funny.
Nothing. Gotcha. Duran.
I just want to say thank you, Carl. Thank you and John for all that you've done. Thank you for joining us tonight. I mean, it's been an honor to have you on this show. Is this your first podcast that you've ever done?
Absolutely. Yeah.
But I mean, it's been an absolute honor to have you, on here. And, I can't state how much I thank you for all that you guys have done and for starting this great, great show. Whenever I became an adult collector, there was a time in my life as an adult collector, I seriously wondered if I was the only dork out there that still collected these plastic toys and even remembered what Transformers were. Well, and then I got on.
No, that's not true. There's definitely an older dork.
Yeah, that's true. But then I got online, and then I started noticing there's a whole world of people out there that still remember and still collect these things. And then I found out there is a convention that people can go to, and that convention was BotCon. And without you guys, it would not be here. We've said that time and time again. And on a one-to-one basis. On a public basis right now, I mean, I thank you from the bottom of my heart as a fan and collector. Thanks.
I said it before. I'll say it again. Legend. That's the best word to describe what you started, Carl.
Carl, any final words of wisdom?
No, I'm just very appreciative of you having me on tonight. I had a lot of fun. I didn't know if I was going to have enough to talk about, but I probably could go another couple hours, but I know nobody may want that, but Make sure you thank Brian and thank Pete for everything that they do too, because they do all the day to day stuff, and they deal with the craziness that's been going on and stuff that they'll never tell you, obviously. But make sure you thank them too. I appreciate everything you guys have said, and it does mean a lot. You never know when this crazy train's going to come to a stop. You know, we don't want to see that happen, but you never know when it's going to end. So you just want to make sure you enjoy it while it's here.
Absolutely. All righty. Well, on that note, I think we're going to wrap this one up. It's been TFYLP episode 154. We've had Carl Hartman with us, and I just want to thank him again for dealing with us. I understand this is your first podcast, and I hope we haven't turned you off for future podcasts.
Not at all. Not at all. Enjoyed it.
I want to also extend an invitation to your brother as well. I mean, if you could both come on sometime, talk more, you know, about the show.
I can talk to him. I mean, his memory is probably a little fuzzier than mine, because he doesn't. Well, he has, like I said, he doesn't do a show.
That's okay. Don's is hit or miss, and we let him come on.
Jeez, I am just feeling the love.
Well, hey,
I can't help it, but when they throw him out there, I gotta hit him. I mean, I just gotta hit him.
I'm getting there too. I mean, I hit the big 4-0, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, man, I'm 40 years old, and I still play with toys. And I don't give a damn.
Okay, I'll put it like this. Why be boring?
Why be boring?
There you go.
That's it.
And on that note, TFYLP, we are not boring. And we'll see you again next week. And good night.
See you.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.